It's the Podcast the News Show, where the editors of podcasternews.com share their insights on a wide range of podcasting topics.
Welcome to Podcaster News Show, episode number 8. My name is Sean Thorpe, and for my podcast for PCN Show for this month, I had an opportunity to speak with Norm Pattis, who's the CEO and chairman of Podcast One. Yesterday, I had written an article on Podcaster News in relation to a news item you've probably seen, in that Podcast One, the big celebrity-driven podcast network, has made a demand to Stitcher, the streaming app that I think anybody who's listening to this is probably familiar with. Podcast One has asked Stitcher to remove all of its shows from their directory, and this created a lot of speculation in the podosphere, a lot of commentary, and through that article, I was contacted by a representative from Podcast One who offered me a chance to speak to Norm and ask some questions. And I do want to stress that my recording environment tends to be noisier during the day than I would like. It's why I tend to record mostly at night. And there is a point during our discussion where my wonderful pet cockatiel Morris decides to come down the hall and sing a little song. So depending on whether or not I can mitigate that through editing, you may hear that. But anyway, we'll go on with the interview, and I'll be back to wrap things up afterwards. I guess the first question I have for you, did Podcast One ever give any kind of permission for Stitcher to carry your shows?
Yes. You know, I've known Noah for a long time. And, you know, when we first started producing our programming and distributing our programming, we were very clear that we were platform agnostic. What we were also clear about was that anybody at any platform could carry our shows, but they could not sell advertising in around them in any way, shape, or form. So, yes, we did allow Stitcher to carry our shows, even though they had started carrying them before we ever had a discussion about it.
Okay.
So it was kind of after the fact, but yeah, we allowed them to do it. And then when we became aware of the fact that they were monetizing our programs, which we had told them specifically they couldn't do, we requested them some time ago to take some of our shows down. And
so
and they did.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Let me interrupt you here for just a second, Norm. You had asked them not to run, like, usually in their apps, Stitcher runs their own pre-roll ads and
right.
display ads against, you know, content that they carry, and you had specifically asked them not to do that?
Well, we had specifically instructed them not to do that.
Okay. Did you ever consider talking to them? I understand they have a revenue sharing program. Did you ever talk to them about that? Was that ever something?
No, not really.
Okay.
We were fairly unimpressed with their ability to deliver revenue.
Okay.
And since we're one of our main solutions in podcasting is generating revenue from
sure.
advertisers.
Of course.
For our shows and for our shows that we represent, some exclusively, some not. We saw no benefit in having Stitcher sell our inventory. As a matter of fact, it was really contrary to our operating plan. We wanted to, in as many cases as possible, be the exclusive outlet for purchasing advertising.
Okay.
Since we were investing literally millions of dollars in solutions that would make podcasting more acceptable to national advertisers. Things like, metrics and billing practices and reporting practices and so forth. The kinds of things that nobody in podcasting was really doing, especially for brand advertisers.
Was Norm, was there any concern on your part as far as pulling the shows from Stitcher? I mean, Stitcher is generally considered to be, it still has obviously a small share in comparison to, say, iTunes, but it's still considered to be one of the bigger players as far as, you know, podcasting apps or distribution platforms go. And I know that it's really popular on Android, as Android doesn't really have any kind of native app yet. Did you have any concern about how...
You know, we took a look at our research and determined that that our following on Stitcher was very small.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm happy to say that we haven't noticed any decrease in downloads since the Stitcher programs, you know, have not been available on their platform.
Yeah.
So, you know, we believe that it's the content that drives the access and not the technology primarily. And so those people that want to find the programs that are available in a variety of places, if one of those places, you know, it becomes unavailable, they'll find the other places pretty simply.
Yeah. I was wondering about that because I was really thinking that if there was any blowback as far as, you know, the end user is concerned, that they would probably actually complain to Stitcher before they'd complain to Podcast One, because they would kind of see it as, oh, well, I used to get my show here. Why can't I get it anymore?
Yeah, I assume that's the case. We haven't had, I mean, we certainly have had some comments, but
yeah,
nothing of major import.
Yeah.
You know, look, we're in different businesses. You know, Stitcher's business primarily was to build the largest possible audience that they can. They've never really had a robust revenue-generating business model, okay? And, you know, they, like lots of other companies in that space, you know, are building audiences. They're VC-financed, and, you know,
also
one of their main goals is to get bought by somebody else.
Yeah, well, they actually were recently acquired by Deezer.
Sure.
So
I'm very well aware of that.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, my most recent conversations have been with Tyler, the CEO of Deezer.
Okay. Can you elaborate at all on how you know about Stitcher's revenue generate, you know, how they're making money or what kind of money they're making? I mean, have you had direct talks with them or seen any of their information, if you can comment on any of that?
Well, we did have a period of time where we looked at acquiring Stitcher or doing some kind of a combination with Stitcher, but that's all under the terms of an NDA, and I can't.
Sure.
I can't disclose anything that I know from that. I will simply say this: that was some time ago.
Yeah.
You know, oftentimes when we enter into NDAs with people, they seem to be more interested in finding out how we're doing what we're doing than they are. So it certainly is conceivable that they've become much more robust in their ability to generate revenues. One of the things that we've asked for, and that they've not supplied, and we've asked for it a couple of times now, is an accounting of what revenue that they have generated in Podcast One programming, so that we can determine what impact it's had, and you know, what our publishers and producers are owed.
And so far, they have yet to produce that information to you?
Correct.
Okay. As these things tend to go on the internet, you know, there's been a lot of speculation and ideas tossed out about this. And obviously, Podcast One has its roots in radio syndication through Westwood One. And some far-flung theories were that you were actually hoping to essentially, I don't want to say sell or syndicate your shows through Stitcher, but you were trying to put pressure on them to actually pay you to carry your shows.
No, nothing
like that.
Not at all. You know, look, these things have been going on in the video side for some time. There's been a number of cases that have been adjudicated where, you know, the most recent would be the Aereo ABC case.
Yeah.
You know, where Aereo was basically, you know, taking ABC product, putting it on their service, and providing it, you know, free to their consumers. ABC took them to court and won. And as a consequence, last week, Aereo went into bankruptcy.
Podcast One, obviously, you have your own shows that you produce, and then you have some that you represent for advertisers. Is that correct?
Correct.
And I was looking yesterday at the top 25 shows listed on podcastone.com.
Right.
And I noticed that most of them were no longer findable in Stitcher, but some of them, Radiolab being one, Laura Ingraham being another, were still available. Are you putting any pressure on those shows that don't necessarily originate in Podcast One to also pull themselves from Stitcher? Or,
well, first of all, Laura Ingraham shouldn't be there because we own it.
Okay.
Secondly, Radiolab and Freakonomics have every right to be there.
Okay.
Because our arrangement with them is non-exclusive.
Okay.
We put them on our platform and we sell them to advertisers, but other people have the same rights that we do. So
okay.
That is non-exclusive content, and we would certainly never ask Stitcher to take down that content because we don't own the shows and we don't own exclusive rights. Sales rights. What we've asked for is for them to take down the shows that we own for which they no longer have permission, and for the shows that we exclusively represent for advertising.
Okay, I see.
Have
yeah.
been clearly, you know, I mean, we look at the shows, we see pop-up ads, we see, you know, video pre-rolls and post-rolls. They're clearly infringing on our rights. Now, you know, I know a lot of people in the podcast world go, well, you know, I mean, we want our podcasts out there to be, you know, to be available to everybody. But, you know, what we're doing is we're taking podcasts that might have smaller audiences and trying to develop them into podcasts that have larger audiences, you know, by putting them on our platform, cross-promoting, bringing, you know, interacting with our other hosts and so forth. And we're trying to build the audiences so they're big enough and that we have enough critical mass to go to an advertiser who's not interested in sitting down with 250,000 individual podcasts
yeah.
and considering whether they want to buy them or not. That's not the way the business is done.
Well, you know, Norm, it's funny. One of the things that comes up a lot is, again, getting back to, you know, things I'm seeing people say online, they're going, ah, well, this is a bunch of radio people that don't really understand new media or podcasting, and they're trying to, you know, sort of revert it to some old style model like what you might have at Westwood One, but it doesn't really sound like that's the case at all.
That's completely untrue. Look,
yeah.
I've been a critic of the radio business, you know, for the last 3 or 4 years, saying that the major radio groups really don't understand where the growth in audio is going to come from. You know, it's going to come from digital, and it's going to come from on-demand, and it's going to come from podcasting. And I think, you know, we over here at Podcast One understand it certainly better than anybody from the radio business has ever understood it. You know, this is democracy. You know,
yeah.
I don't have to convince a radio station program director to carry my programs. All I have to do is put a program up that consumers want to consume. You know, this is, you know, for me, this is like heaven. And put together packages for advertisers that give them an opportunity to reach consumers that are more valuable to them than they could ever reach on radio and television, because these are active listeners, what you would have referred to in the radio business or in the music business as P1 listeners. These are your most active, most involved listeners. You know, they want to listen to these programs. They want to listen to all of these programs. They want to listen to them whenever they want to listen to them. And they want to be able to pause the program so that they can hear all of it whenever they want to hear it.
So, Norm,
that sounds like somebody who doesn't understand the media.
Yeah,
that's
true.
I must be missing something.
Okay, well, let me ask this. Outside of iTunes, where can Podcast One shows be found? Obviously not Stitcher anymore, but outside of your own website, your own apps, are you available, say, through TuneIn or iHeart or Spreaker or anything like that?
No.
Okay.
You know, because, first of all, I don't think we're appropriate for iHeart. Secondly, you know, TuneIn wants to, you know, they have carried some of our shows, but they want to sell advertising around.
Okay,
they don't
so,
want them to do
yeah.
that, so they don't carry our programs. We're available primarily on iTunes and at our own platform through the host's websites.
Okay.
And since our hosts have an exceptionally high following in social media.
Yeah.
You can find them on their social media.
Was the removal of Stitcher, were you hoping at all that that might, you know, push more people onto your own native Podcast One app? Was that a consideration at all?
Well, I think that it's probably, rather than it being a consideration, I think it probably turned out to be something that could be happening. Even
yeah.
though, you know, I will say this, we haven't seen any drops in any of the numbers of any of the programs that were on Stitcher that are no longer on Stitcher. So clearly, it's been picked up by either iTunes, our app, or our website, or the hosts' websites. So I don't have the data on that yet because it's only been in the last couple of weeks. You know, I don't want to unfairly pick on Stitcher.
Sure.
Okay. You know, we have a situation with Stitcher, and so we're moving in this area. But we also are taking notice of the fact that, you know, there's more and more recognition in the media and in advertising that podcasting is becoming, you know, a serious business.
Yeah.
More serious than it used to be.
Sure.
And it's being looked at that way. And we've noticed that a number of players who are primarily in the music business have now stated that, you know, they're planning to move into spoken word programming.
Yeah.
I think that's great. Okay? Anything that brings more attention to this particular space is good for everybody who's in it. But what I do want to point out is a lot of these companies are tech companies that don't seem to have a great understanding or a lot of history in working with talent or in working with spoken word producers and publishers, and that rights need to be taken into consideration.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I've talked to any number of people who are putting together spoken word algorithms that will pull content on a variety of subjects and aggregate it and provide it to listeners. I'm not a great believer in that model, first of all, because I believe that podcasts and spoken word programming need a beginning, a middle, and an end.
Mm-hmm.
So when you pull little pieces out of it, out of context, I don't see that as being something that's going to be, you know, a direction that we would
yeah.
want to go in anyway.
So really what it sounds like it boils down to here, at least in terms of the situation with Stitcher, is that you've asked them to remove the shows, and I'm of the impression that they originally removed them from their directory, but you found that people who had chosen to follow those shows in their app were still getting your shows in their app. Is that true?
Yeah, sure. They still are today.
Oh, they still are today.
They still are today.
Okay.
Even though it may be, you know, it may have been, you know, removed, you know, initially, and certainly archival material is still available.
Is that something and, that you've given them permission to?
We would have asked them to take down those programs if they hadn't gone out and tried to monetize them.
Yeah.
You know.
But like as far as the shows that...
We'd be happy to be platform agnostic.
Yeah.
But we're the ones who are investing the millions of dollars to build the marketplace.
Sure.
And we're the ones that are dealing with the kinds of things that need to be done to create a company with enough critical mass to be taken seriously by advertisers so that we can put out programs that are good for podcasting, limited commercial announcements, and make this a business, you know, where if people choose to have it as a hobby and do it out of their garage, so be it. But if people actually want to make a living off of it, and plenty of people are now, well, they should be able to.
Are you working at all to try and resolve this with Stitcher, or is kind of the line drawn in the sand and it's over between the two of you?
You know, I got a communique from the president of Deezer, the CEO of Deezer, saying that, you know, he was going to get into this and he wanted to get involved in this and work swiftly to make this a non-issue. And I also saw their quote where they said, you know, that's been running in the press, saying that they plan to work actively with us to resolve this so that they could bring our programs, and they referred to them as very important programs,
yeah.
To Stitcher consumers and Stitcher listeners. But I'm doing is reading it in the paper. I haven't been contacted by anybody.
Hmm. Okay. Norm, are you concerned at all about the fact that, you know, Stitcher is going to be one of these CarPlay associates where they're going to be probably one of the first apps to kind of be in dashboard when that becomes more of a common thing in cars? Are you concerned at all about, you know, your shows not being available there?
I just want to escalate. Uh-huh. Okay. And when I get into that Escalade, it is, and I have a Tesla as well. And those are like driving computers, you know?
Yeah.
And when you get into one of those cars and you see all the things that you have access to do, you know, having an in-dash solution that you've got to figure out, you know, while you're driving, it seems pretty dangerous to me.
Yeah, yeah.
I like our in-dash solution.
Uh-huh.
Our in-dash solution is you walk into your car with your Android or your iPhone.
Uh-huh.
You've already made it Bluetooth ready, and it goes straight to the app.
Yeah.
So that you can pick a podcast.
Okay.
I think that is far simpler than having to figure out the many, many steps that you have to go through in a car to make it easier. You know, radio used to be easy because it was simple.
Right.
You know, you had five buttons. You set them, and you had five options.
Right, you turn the knob.
But as technology, you know, became more and more sophisticated, then there are more and more ways to access that. You know, that doesn't make it easier to consume. It makes it tougher to consume.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you go into, you know, I mean, radio is always talking about the in-dash solution being the savior of radio. You know, if you go into a GM car, AM and FM radio is on page two.
Yeah.
You know? So we're very happy with our in-dash solution,
yeah,
which is the mobility of our product.
Just to clarify one thing, the shows that Stitcher, your podcast one shows that Stitcher is still allowing people to access, you know, people that have chosen to follow or favorite those shows on Stitcher, did you also ask Stitcher to remove those, or did you say it's okay? You did, okay. So they're still, as we're talking this morning, they're still distributing your shows essentially without your permission.
Yes.
Okay. Are you having any talks with them still, or is it?
No, like I said, okay. You know, we've had talks with them, but, you know, since we sent out this press release, we've received communications.
Okay.
And we've read their statements.
Okay.
All which would indicate that they are looking for a solution.
Yeah.
But nobody's contacted us.
Okay. And with that, we ended the interview. I want to give a big thanks to Norm for taking some time today to speak with me about this issue with Podcast One and Stitcher. I think he pretty much cleared up the situation there and hopefully has given us all some clarity as far as some of the speculation that's happening online. Let me know what you think of the whole situation. Head over to podcasternews.com/PCN008 and leave a comment there. You can also find me on Twitter at Shawno, S-H-A-W-N-O, and you can find our website at Podcasting News on Twitter. So until I return next month with my next podcast for PCN show, those of you who are celebrating Thanksgiving, have a great holiday, and everyone else, have a great rest of your week, and I will talk to you again next month.